I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Vice and Brent 2020 London Borough of Culture, this is Bent Documentaries. Young people from one London borough telling you the stories we care about. This is series one, where we're talking about identity. Kamaya Shea. I've always thought of my friends as part of my identity. Who I choose to share my energy with makes up a bit of who I am. Now I'm 20 though, I'm going into a bit of a weird point in my life, friendship wise. At school and college, you spend a lot of your day with your friends without even trying. But now I'm trying to work and get the shmoney and be independent. And I have to actively make time to chill with them. How do you make friendships last when you become an adult?
Dre, please can you introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Dre Sylvester.
Dre is my best friend.
Do you know what I miss? Your Snapchat signature.
Oh gosh, you're trying to hear that now?
Yeah.
Hello, it's your boy Dre. You know where it is.
Yeah. Dre and I met in college.
Before I say my version of how we met, How did we meet?
So, I see a small black girl coming to the classroom. And I think, what's it? She had, at the time, you were wearing your wigs. Like, I think weave at that time.
No, I had my hair permed. It was my own hair. It was just straight. Oh, we're going back like what, 3 years now?
Yeah. Alright, cool. I remember it being sleek though. We were sat next to each other, that's the one thing. And you just said something, I laughed. And that's when I started talking back to you, and then I think it came off the thing of let's get to know each other then. Yeah. We started cracking from there. I think we just started talking a bit of our backgrounds, like where our family comes from. And then we just started just finding convos after convos.
Yeah, and it just wasn't hard.
It was almost like we pre-planned them.
Yeah, it was just easy and it was just like refreshing to find someone like that in a class.
For the rest of college, Dre and I spent every day together. Now he's studying to be an actor and I'm working. We don't see each other as much. I still love him, but I guess I just don't know how our friendship will transition into this new way of life.
Okay, my name's Max and I've been friends with Brian since for about 40 years.
And I am Brian.
You've been friends with Max for about 40 years. Jesus.
Sorry, I thought it was food self-explanatory. No. Just introduce both of us.
Right. Okay, good. Good start.
That's Max Daly, global drugs editor at Vice, and his best friend, Brian Pierce. I decided to use this documentary to make a kind of blueprint for how to keep mine and Dre's friendship going now we're adults. I thought a good place to start was to chat to people who have been best friends for twice as long as I've been alive.
And before he's gone, we have to use our memory.
Max and Brian met in school, a couple of years younger than I was when I met Dre.
We were like slightly alternative compared to the mainstream kids, I think. And we ended up being cool with things like goths and things like that and smoking cigarettes in the churchyard.
Wait, but at 13 you're smoking?
No, we weren't goths. It's just that we weren't casuals, which was a big thing then. And we weren't like, and it was the word nerdy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we weren't nerds. We weren't sort of trendy. We were like, we were just slightly odd. And we used to all wear like long black coats and used to smoke cigarettes by the church.
Just because it was a place 13, 14 outside at lunchtime.
Max and Brian are kind of the old school version of me and Dre.
When I moved to college, when I had like my main friends, much of skateboarders and people who smoked weed, and then we had like the music lot, then we were the drama lot, and then we'd just hang out in the park until like 11 o'clock at night and then we'd go home.
You lot would have been the same ones that we would probably
chilled with.
Been more, yeah, mm-hmm. hung out with.
I used to wear a long trench coat as well, but I still do actually.
Yeah.
It's my thing.
But some of Max and Brian's school life was completely different to mine.
Things we experienced together, there's no recording of it. And I think you end up doing some stupider stuff because of that.
Because you're not going to record it and show the whole world.
There's a railway bridge that goes over the Thames in Barnes. And we used to climb up and go under the railway bridge over the river on the girders and shout at people, for example. And you know what I mean? When you're young, it's just like acting the fool. But nowadays, people would be
filming it. That's why you get caught.
And then they used to have blackouts in the old days. I don't know if you've ever experienced a blackout in London.
Yeah.
And then we'd all run into the pub and order a pint while it was dark. Do you know? In the sun. Drink it quick before the lights get back on and run out. Whereas nowadays, people would be like,
Was there a lot of blackouts?
There was a couple. I don't remember how many. It's a long time ago. But talking about 1983, I suppose. 84.
Like anyone else, Max and Brian bonded when they were younger through fucking around. But I wanted to know about their friendship after school and college. The unknown territory that me and Dre are just getting into now.
I think that was probably near when I started going to journalism college.
Journalism at Elephant Castle. Yeah.
So, you know, it was a time where we kind of went off into sort of our versions of university. So I went to study journalism, Brian went to study music. And I think it wasn't some sort of emotional...
It was no big
deal, no. It was just about like, he's going off there.
We were never emotional.
What am I going to do with that, Brian?
Yeah, we were never like that.
Yeah, because I remember when I flew over to go and hang out with you in New York when the first time when you were out of band, it was amazing because obviously it's one of those times when phone call to America cost like £1 million or something. So it was almost no communication whatsoever.
Also, the likelihood of someone being in.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, like WhatsApp or free WhatsApp calls or nothing.
Yeah. So when you actually do meet up, especially like in somewhere like New York, when, you know, it's just like flipping out. I haven't seen my best mate for ages. And so you go completely nuts.
I still remember his phone call at his house.
His phone call, what?
I remember your phone number.
Oh, right.
7486845.
Oh, bloody hell. That's
right. Wait, what?
That's right.
That was only like...
Yeah,
three digits.
It was
01.
Was it
London? Then was 01.
Oh my god, that's 01, so
01,
great.
7486843
or something.
Yeah, blimey, yeah, good so, memory.
Yeah, I remember that. I had it as my pin number on my card once. But also in those days, you couldn't have a long distance relationship. It brings you the realization that when you don't see someone who is a good friend, and you get back together with them after a year of not speaking to them. Everything's fine. It's exactly the same.
Max and Brian clearly love each other and have known each other for a very long time. The idea of not seeing each other for long periods of time doesn't faze them, which is reassuring.
And Max was drunk most of the time anyway.
Yeah, it was good for him to get away. It was refreshing.
Yeah, to get rid of me. So he could actually do, because I was obviously so good looking.
Yeah, as soon as he went away, all the girls came flocking to me. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, thank God, he's gone.
What did you do then, like in terms of friendship? Like, how did you transfer from 20s and being young adults to being grown-ups?
Well, to tell you the truth, we weren't on top of each other at that point. We had quite separate lives.
Yeah, so we were still hanging around in the same sort of like stratosphere, but he was like living the high life, playing bands, going skiing and all this kind of stuff, all the glam stuff. And I was just being a journalist, getting drunk all the time and writing about death. you know, I think we did, you know, go those kind of separate ways slightly, but still were, you know,
yeah, really close. There's things he says to me that I don't think you can say to anyone else, really, because he knows I won't be nice. Just say something because I want him to think some way, do you know what I mean? And that's helped because Max has had a few issues, haven't he?
Max and Brian have got great banter, and I started to feel like maybe they're good at using humour to not talk about the more emotional stuff. The longer you know someone, surely the more bad stuff happens to you. How do you navigate that? I started digging deeper. What don't they like about each other? When have they argued?
Maybe putting me down a bit, maybe belittling me, but that was a common thread amongst people I knew. But
when you're young, you don't realise that it actually, when you make fun of someone, because everyone's had people make fun of it, it's not nice. Mm.
So I think people just saw me as a complete sort of... just a random joke.
Yeah, but also the other annoying thing is he's quite little and cute.
I'm so short everyone... as well, so I always hear the short jokes from every bloody body, and it's bloody
annoying.
Yeah,
but you haven't had any of those for years, have you?
Not for years.
Like the old... What was I
going to
say?
Yeah, no, I was saying stuff, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Also the other thing. Right, I remember what I was going to say. The annoying thing about him as well is because he's quite short and cute looking. You know, he's not now, he's a middle aged man. But when he was quite short, he used to get away with shit that I would never be able to get away with because I'm nearly 6 foot and I'm not cute. And I'd be, and he'd do something really out. He'd go, "Oh, lovely. Oh, Max, lovely. Oh, yeah. Oh, isn't he gorgeous?" And I'd be like, if I fucking did that.
Sometimes you can get a bit blinkered in your views of society.
Apparently, you're fucking dead. You're dead, Daily.
A bit.
That's blinkered in my view of what?
Just a bit blinkered in your views of society. It's a natural thing, is that your experience of life and things and whatever changes. But the good thing, the good side of that is that we both have interesting stuff to sort of teach each other and share each other.
Because I know, I constantly say, I'm just a reactionary old bastard now, things like that. But it's a bit of a joke, because you always see things from your own point of view in your own bubble. So as long as you can see that in yourself and laugh at it, and I think we both can.
Why do you love Brian?
Why do I love Brian? His opinion and his advice and things like that, I respect that.
Brian?
Vice versa?
Yeah.
My fashion sense?
Yeah, no. I don't know, it's got a lot of energy to do stuff. He'll travel across London to go and do something, and we would always make the effort to go a long way and stay the night at each other's house to hang out and have a laugh. And there's not a lot of people who would do that for me, or I would do that for them.
And I suppose I see it's like part of my identity is that Brian's... Yeah. Pretty much my best friend, so that's part of who I am. Sometimes I do find myself thinking, I know you wouldn't do this, but I'll go like, what would Brian sort of think, or what would he say, or what would his attitude be, which is quite interesting, isn't it?
Understandable.
Max and Brian's stories of their antics and just their whole vibe really reminded me of my friendship with Dre. We make an effort to see each other. Some stuff I tell him, I wouldn't really tell anyone else, and vice versa. Knowing their friendship has lasted so long, it made me feel like there's hope for the future, for me and Dre's friendship too. But halfway through making my doc, everything changed. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back. From January to March, I was making a documentary thinking about the future of my friendships.
Good morning. Look how early it is. I hope you're okay.
But then, at the end of March, all of my thinking about the future was catapulted into the present.
So Maya.
The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced for decades.
An unprecedented health crisis which requires unprecedented action.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
Schools have been shut, bars have been boarded up, and now the government's ordering us, not asking us, to stay at home.
You should not be meeting friends. If your friends ask you to meet, you should say no.
You should say no.
I had to move back to my mum's, and I'm currently sharing a very small space with her and my sister. Without the chance of seeing any of my friends for quite a long time, I had to get creative.
As a war has been started.
Right now, I see everyone who lives with me as my own personal entertainment system.
Spray them with a little bit of water. And now they came at me, they've locked, turned off all the lights, and they've gone into the bedrooms. If I go out, they will never have gone out. Here they come.
Yeah, geez, I know they're in your wardrobe. This is a video I took to send to Dre of a water fight. Nay, a battle royale I had with my family.
Put it down, woman!
Put a water gun down!
All right, mine's coming. Put yours down! Show me. If you've got no weapons, you can come out and I won't spray you.
And put yours down then.
It's about no trust.
Angel, she's gonna spray you.
I won't spray you. Don't believe the one stream media. Trust is the way forward, my friend.
You are the establishment.
And the establishment will not harm you.
After 100% definitely winning the water fight, I decided I might as well make the best out of my situation. My sister's 12 and my mum is a lady.
All right, are you ready, mum?
Yes.
I decided to interview them both about friendships, especially in these new uncertain times. One second. No. Have you? Well, ignore it. No, you're doing a job, Angel. It's not every day.
My name's Angel Cowell and I am 12 years old. I'm in year 7.
What's your favourite thing to do?
My favourite thing to do at the moment, because we're in quarantine, is, like, I play Roblox and do TikToks and all that. Those are my favourite things to do.
And talk to your friends for hours.
Yeah, talk to my friends for hours.
Who are you, mother?
Who am I? Yeah, my name's Maria and I'm the mother of these two glorious young ladies.
What does friendship mean to you?
When someone can talk to you, or when you can talk to someone without feeling embarrassed to say anything to them, or without feeling like you have to be different around them or have a different persona. You can just be yourself, you can just be neutral.
Angel, my little sister, had only just started secondary school when lockdown started. How did you, before the lockdown, hang out with your friends?
We just, like, have fun. We'd go, like, at school, we'd have lunch and then just talk and then run around school and then go to the toilet and then just come back. It's just, like, that was our day. It's, like, not primary where you have a playground, you put your bag down, you have a playground in a cloak. It's totally different.
Since having to live with Angel again during lockdown, I've noticed just how much time she spends on her phone.
I most of the time make TikToks.
Why TikToks though?
Because TikToks is like a trending app. It's like a really big social media that you can go on and if it's relatable, you'll get on the For You page and people will like it. but I don't tend to get on the For You page. So. There's 2-year-olds that get on the For You page.
That's because they're cute.
Isn't it?
What are you trying to say?
So you're super cute.
Thank you.
Do you see a difference between hanging out in person and hanging out online with your friends?
Oh, yeah. Because in person, you guys, like, handshakes. It's like, yeah, you need them to speak about things that have gone in school that your sister or your mum wouldn't know about because they don't go to school. They weren't there.
There is about, say, 4 to 5 people that I make sure I catch up with that they're okay. And I will also use social media for that. But the people I talk to most, I'm on FaceTime with them. I guess because I'm into a lot of groups, social media has helped me to connect with them because I'm not the type of person who always wants to be on the phone call with somebody. But having access to the internet and social media, I'm able to talk to like people around me to be like, okay, that you're okay, whatever like this. Without that, it would have been a lot harder and I would have felt like the situation, I would have felt a lot more isolated, even with you guys here, because... Okay, I watched Boris do his speech on the TV, but then I was able to see somebody else in South London comment on that, make a meme about it, because they've watched it too, and we're the same age. So it feels like more connected. Like, even though you're over there, I know that most, like, all young people have this Instagram account, and that social media account does talk about what's going on politically. So you do feel connected, even though you're far away, which I feel is a positive thing.
Because I talk to my friends, it's like I'm not really feeling bored or isolated at the moment.
I get what you're saying, though. You don't feel like as isolated, because if you didn't have your phone and no social media, you'd feel so much worse.
Yeah, I'd feel like I want to show up on a ball.
Do you feel like any of your friendships have changed to what they were before lockdown happened?
No.
You don't think you and one of your main friends got closer?
Oh, yeah. One of my main friends, we talked. The longest time that we ever talked was, like, 5 hours. But it was...
During lockdown.
Actually, I think it was, like, 7 hours, actually. Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Phone constantly on charge and me saying, get off the phone.
Well, what are you doing now? What lesson are you doing now?
And you weren't doing a lesson at all. No, 2 days didn't do lessons.
Do you think you guys would have been as close as you are now without the lockdown? Or do you think the lockdown made you closer?
You know, I'm not sure, because you never know. We could have fallen out somehow, or we could have had an argument. I mean, we still could have had an argument now, but we haven't. I don't know.
I think... press your button on your phone and say bye. When you
exit, goodbye. For me, being social, he's kind of take on the personification of my phone. So if I do want to distance myself, my phone's on don't disturb mode, and then it makes me feel a lot better because I've sent you a message, I'm in a reply to it, but that's my effort, there it is.
So in fact, really, it helps you to manage your relationships. Mm-hmm. So you keep in touch, you can speak, send voice notes.
Exactly.
You can look at what they're doing, they can look at what you're doing. However, you haven't got to physically be in their space, share that energy, which pulls a lot from some people. But yet you can maintain and know what people are doing and what their challenges are.
Mine and Joy's friendship and all my other friendships have taken on a whole new meaning during lockdown. I definitely took it for granted how good seeing my friends face to face was. But also, in a lot of ways, I feel lucky now that I've grown up when I did. Joy and I have always texted and called and voice noted and sent each other videos on Insta and Snap. I miss chilling with him in person, but also I'm so glad we can still chat on the regular during this time, and it doesn't feel that different to before lockdown. We're maybe more prepared for this situation than older people.
Hi Kamaya, it's Max.
I thought I'd say hi and just ask you how you were doing during the lockdown.
I'm jogging for the first time in about sort of 3 years or something.
As you can see, I have no private space to have conversations.
Please, I'm doing a voice note.
I'm keeping in contact with old friends like Brian.
Because we're quite in the middle of nowhere, quite rural, it's not all that hard for us. Lots of stuff to do in the garden always, quite a big garden. Play with the kids, watch movies, always take...
People have started touching base with me more too.
Hey, Kamaya, I have another slang question for you.
That's one of my producers, Jess.
We're doing a transcript of one of the Vent podcasts, and Nuruddin says it's booky, very booky. How do you spell booky?
B-O-O-K-I-E. How are you, Jess?
It was my birthday recently, and...
Another Vent producer I checked up on, Ali.
I hate not knowing when I can see my family. I miss, yeah, just being able to see my friends.
Everyone I've spoken to seems to be thinking lots more about the value of friendship.
How are you? How was your sleep? How are you doing? What time did you wake up?
I'm probably talking more to some people who I don't talk to as often.
I'm very grateful for my flatmates because they called me before and they're like, what time are you coming?
I reached out to people who I haven't spoken to in ages.
Really, really lovely.
Mummy Maria's.
Hey, Siege, how you doing?
Fine.
Early.
Hey, ho.
I miss you.
To the next show.
My house into a busy street anyway. So,
I ain't heard that in a while still myself. So...
Will you do anything differently with your friendships after lockdown?
I would appreciate my friendships much more. I think I get so excited to see them.
Yeah, I think I'd like to sort of... You guys are getting older. It's time for me now to kind of start spreading my wings a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's right, we're going to put you on Instagram anyway.
We're going to put you on Tinder as well.
How do you keep a friendship going so long?
How?
Mm.
Just by being alive. I don't know.
Breathing.
I think it's more to do with the original core thing of having a similar sense of humour and...
Also, yeah. it's like a touchstone, isn't it? It's kind of grounding.
When was the point where it was like, oh yeah, we're best friends?
I think it's actually when we went to Southend.
I was gonna say that too. Go on, yeah, go on.
Yeah, it was when we went to Southend. And I was just around your sister and is it your cousin or your niece?
Your nieces.
Your nieces, yeah. I just felt like this is some people I could see the future being around. Truthfully, yeah. Just the way we had our day, it didn't feel forced in any way. It just actually felt like I was going on an outing with my family.
That's such a nice day as well.
Yes, I was like, it's something. I swear, I've seen pictures where it's just raining.
Yeah.
Please be a good day. Yeah, it was a great day, honestly.
I can't wait for lockdown to be finished so I can go and do stuff like this again. That's when I introduced you to like to my well actually probably in college I introduced my mum, but like
we officially got to be around.
We got to be around her. She got to like talk to you and whatever. She's giving out sandwiches and all, you know, all like juice boxes.
Yeah. I thought at home there for a moment. I was like, yeah.
And it was like, for someone, not a lot of my friends have ever met my mum, but the ones that are a representation of you, you're gonna bring her mum.
My mum says I love to you, by the way.
She
actually said that to me today still. So
thank you for listening to Vent Documentaries. I'm Kamaya Shea. Vent Documentaries are produced by Jess Lawson and Ali Adlington, with help from Amelia Gill, Mareed Majeed, and me. Field recordings from Jennifer Lucy Allen. Our music is from WMP Studios. Vent is a collaboration between Vice and Brent, London Borough Culture 2020.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.